Please turn to Matthew 13 for our exhortation this morning. Matthew 13. We're going to look at verses, just two verses, 31 and 32. Jesus sometimes gave parables together in groups, and we see two parables that are very similar here, likely spoken together to describe the incredible growth of the kingdom of God. We have the parable of the mustard seed, which we'll look at today, and the parable of the leaven, which we'll look at next week. So follow along with me now in Matthew 13, verses 31 and 32. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." Amen. So we see the parable of the mustard seed. It really portrays the expansive nature of the kingdom of God. And when next week, when we look at the parable of the leaven, we're going to see how that portrays the intensive growth of the kingdom of heaven. So here we see that Jesus' point by using the illustration of the mustard seed is that the kingdom of God, okay, the kingdom of heaven, seemingly unimportant, insignificant back in AD 28 in little old Galilee, it would become the most influential, impactful kingdom ever. Now reigning for 2,000 years, amen? So we see this little mustard plant. Anybody have any mustard plant? Neil, you have a mustard plant? You do! Great! Go see it. The largest plant in the garden, sometimes reaching 10 to 15 feet tall and wide. And they were actually in the family's household garden, were actually put on the edge of the garden because they knew this thing was going to grow very big. But when it's so big, it becomes kind of like a tree. It's not a tree, but it's like a tree where even birds can land. Very extensive, very growth, very, very significant growth. And so the principle of the parable here is that small beginnings, a tiny mustard seed, grow to unexpected and incredible increase with great results, totally out of proportion with those small beginnings. Because we should just look at how this kingdom started, shouldn't we? The king of this kingdom himself came into this world as an insignificant tiny seed, born lowly and small in the eyes of society, like a mustard seed, born in a barn with some animals to an unmarried teenage Hebrew girl. In a humble town, this mustard seed's entrance only recognized by a few lowly shepherds and his followers, a handful of uneducated fishermen. His entry as the king of the Jews on a donkey, not on a red carpet, but with palm branches. And of course, this king was put on trial, convicted. And at that time, his little band of followers, well, one betrayed him and the others ran off and forsook him. And of course, then he was beaten, humiliated, executed in the most horrific way the Romans could invent. And with that, you're going to start a worldwide religion? Really? Well, to that we say a resounding yes and amen. This is our God. For this seemingly insignificant carpenter boy is now seated at the right hand of God. A small seed, now the tree of life to the whole world. And his little band of followers, yes, those ones that ran off, they set the world on fire with a message of truth, of salvation, which is now proclaimed where? Almost everywhere on the globe. In almost every known language. Yes, the kingdom of heaven starts small, the gospel, but it begins to grow in one heart, and then 10, and then 100, and then to a nation. It's the largest kingdom and the longest standing kingdom the earth has ever known. A tiny seed sown in Galilee, Christianity has become this huge tree today that provides shelter to people everywhere. And it's not over yet. It's still growing. This tree has not yet reached full maturity. God is continuing to expand his kingdom. For we know that countless people on this globe have not yet heard the good news of God's forgiving love, have not taken refuge in its branches. In fact, we know that perhaps there's entire little pockets and regions of the world that are not receiving the shade and shelter of God's kingdom and Christ's love. As our parable states, when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Birds nesting in its branches, right? Children, have you ever seen a bird's nest? Raise your hand if you've seen a bird's nest. Yes, aren't they incredible? They fashion a little nest. Now, the Greek word here really would mean to tent, to set up your tent in a certain place. And so it is this place that is your dwelling, your home, your place of rest and refuge. And so the tree continues to spread and extend to all those places that still need the gospel, to every heart, maybe right here in Elizabeth, that has not been so beautifully broken and brought to life by the gospel, so that those his chosen can find refuge and solace in Christ. As Matthew 24 reminds us, when the gospel of God's kingdom has been preached to all the nations in the world, then the end will come and the tree will be fully grown. And in this kingdom, the mustard plant continues to grow. Christ's dominion extends unrestrained despite man's thwartings. Ever and forever shall his name endure. Long as suns continue, it shall stand secure. And in him forever all men shall be blessed. All nations shall hail him, King of kings confessed. Christ shall have dominion. Over land and sea, earth's remotest regions shall his empire be. There is no corner of this world where this tree will not grow. It's growing every day. And here we are, as ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us, as the light and salt to the world to make this truth known. So it's the question for us today. What are you doing as a part of this ever-expanding kingdom? As we tell children, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the grave. He gave you a job in his kingdom that he may be glorified by it. Now, let me give you a warning. This world will disdain your building of this kingdom. Motherhood, discipleship, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, you're not going to get any applause from man for that. For this service in his kingdom will come by faith. It's the lifeblood of this mustard plant and the grace of God that makes it grow. God has every single one of us as a part of this building project. Brother Sam Eaton, you're part of the building project, right? You're part of it. Josiah, Micah, Hansberry, they're part of the building project. They're part of it. Brother Jared, you're part of the building project. Julie, sister, you're part of the building. Every single one of Samuel, little Samuel. See him there? He's part of the project. We're all part of this beautiful project. Just as thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance that we should walk in them. So now, let's enter our time of confession. Let's examine ourselves. I'd like to ask you, are you tenting in Christ? Or occasionally is your tent found somewhere else, in another camp? But would you miss out on this project? Would you go tent or camp somewhere else? Is your hand at the ready? The gifts God's given you, are you employing them? Or are you burying them in the ground? Are you Christ's ambassador to your neighbor? Is the fragrance of Christ so flowing from you because you die to yourself daily? The only smell left is that of Christ. And don't think that you need to become some missionary in some remote island somewhere to build this kingdom. No. Jesus said to the Pharisees, the tax collectors and prostitutes enter the kingdom of heaven before you because they believe and rest in Christ. Yes, this kingdom is built by faithful fathers and mothers resting in Christ. Sweet marriages that cling to their oneness in the Lord. And meek followers of Jesus glorifying him in the everyday, ordinary actions of life. Note that Christ's illustration, it wasn't foreign to the listening Jews. It wasn't foreign at all. For they knew the messianic parable in Ezekiel 17, when God said that on the mountain heights of Israel I will plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar, and birds of every kind will rest in it. They will find shelter and shade in its branches. Do you find shade in Christ? Do you rest in Christ? Or do you need what your flesh craves right now? Do you need to go on a vacation? Children, do you need the next greatest toy? Do you need circumstantial peace to surround you all the time? Or can you find peace in Christ in the midst of the storm? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. I encourage you this morning, let's dwell here, brothers and sisters, in the mustard plant. Seek no other place for your heart to dwell, no other place to build your nest. Remain in his camp, physically and spiritually. Oh, that we may taste this and see that the Lord is good, for indeed better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this picture of the mustard seed, seemingly insignificant, but this is the place where sinners come and find their shade, that they may tent in him, that you, Lord, would be our dwelling place. Oh God, we confess to you that many times we run after our own desires and our selfish pride and self-focus ideas. Oh Lord, we want to be in your camp. We want to build a nest in the place of your kingdom, this kingdom of heaven. And Lord, we pray that you would sign us up to be fruitful members of your kingdom, that this may be our focus. Not our agenda or dreams, Lord, but yours. Your kingdom come, oh God, harness us with a grace to step into walking by faith and not by sight to all that you call us to. And we take a moment now to individually confess our sins to you.